You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Do you want your home to be an outpost of hell, or would you rather it be a little bit like heaven?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, help us to see you as our Father, and to be at home with you through faith in your great Son and our Savior, Jesus. Give us the grace of love that we may be one with each other at home, in our families, enjoying the grace of life in your Son, in whose great name we pray. Amen. If there's one place in the world where people can be expected to be at one with one another, it is at home, in the family. Often it is right there that life begins to fall apart. Husbands and wives can't look at each other without glaring. Parents and children can't talk to each other without quarreling. What happens in the family gets to be characteristic outside the family. The fact is that many people are more considerate and polite to people outside the family than they are to those with whom they share bed and board and room. Eventually, when they get close enough to other people outside the family, at work and at play, and even in worship, they respond with the same crudeness and coarseness that mark their life at home. It's not exactly a new development. Many people excuse themselves with the thought that modern life, with all of its pressures and disorganization, has brought about this new thing with which they are not prepared to cope. Actually, it's the same old thing. Misunderstandings and disagreements are not new to the human family, nor to the family circle on the human scene. They have their root, as St. Paul said, in good old human nature, which likes to write its own story, governed by its own passions and punctuated by its own pride. St. Paul wrote to his friends at Philippi, who had given him a good deal of pleasure and satisfaction. He expressed his joy over their generosity, especially noteworthy in people who had to live in a very tightly controlled community that was mostly unfriendly and even hostile to them. Some of that stuff often rubs off on people who are downtrodden and oppressed, causing them to put up a hard front, as hard as the one with which they are confronted. Indeed, there were two women in this congregation who had been bickering, biting at each other, and trying to beat one another. That's not the way, said St. Paul. You know Jesus Christ. You don't have to live that kind of life. Christ is tender-hearted toward you, he said, and I feel the same way toward you. I have a deep affection for you. It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness which come through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. It has been granted to you, he went on, that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict which you saw and now hear to be mine. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The people of that church were very human. That is to say, they were imperfect. The church had its problems, as it does today. People had their problems, as they do today. People in the church were quarreling and fighting. It was not something Paul was going to let go unnoticed. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, he said, but in humility count others better than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves that you have in Christ Jesus. This kind of thing begins at home. What people are at home, they will be wherever they are. People don't like to fight and quarrel, but they do. Those who like to fight all the time are hopeless cases, and this word of God will probably have no effect on them at all. People that want to get rid of all that fighting and quarreling in the family circle and outside that circle will find that St. Paul has some very practical advice which works for everyone who has come to know the mind of Christ. What was the mind of Christ? It was simply this, said St. Paul. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, made himself of no reputation, actually gave up for the sake of humanity the privileges which belonged to him as God, and took upon him the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a human, in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. That's the mind of Christ. With all of his Godhead, and in all of his humanity, he did not feel that he had to go around demanding adulation. With complete confidence in his Father, he did not mind being a servant at all. He washed the feet of his disciples, not just as a symbolic gesture, but in actual fact, just at a time when they were at odds with one another, determined to outdo one another, intent on outparading one another, instead of feathering his own nest. He was interested in forgiving and forgetting the human pride that makes fighting and quarreling an everyday thing on the human scene. He was out to bring people around with his love, which carried him right to a cross where he died for the sin that makes life a living hell. Do you want your home to be an outpost of hell? Or would you rather that it be a little bit like heaven, a place where you can retreat and refuel to receive daily support and strength? In the United States, a TV program called The Waltons, ostensibly the tale of a young man called John Boy about his family, has survived intense competition for audience, while other programs, appealing to all kinds of tastes, have died after 1 year or even after only a few months. Grandfather and grandmother, father and mother, children of various ages in this family, all have their problems. None is perfect. But they are one in the family with sinews of spiritual strength to help them overcome their problems individually and as a family. They have something. When you get right down to it, what they have is love willing to forgive. That's what makes them a family. In a world where people are encouraged to be themselves and to do their thing, the advice of St. Paul may sound a little bit out of date. Actually, it is as up-to-date as today's newspaper and the human nature that produced all those stories on the front page of that newspaper. St. Paul said to people like us, don't be conceited. Don't have an exaggerated opinion of yourself. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. This does not mean that you have to downgrade yourself. That's not humility. Genuine humility is to see yourself as you are, without rosy-colored glasses. You don't have to discount your strength to be humble. What you can do is to build up those around you, letting them feel that they are more important to you than you are to yourself. That's what mothers, real mothers, have always done without selfishness, without any feeling that they were degrading themselves. That's what fathers can do without losing any of their authority in the household. It takes a real man to be a real father, with real humility that is admired by his wife and respected by his children. A friend of mine asked the couples who were taking a marriage course in his congregation to write their answers to this question. What quality do you dislike most in other people? In almost every case, they said, conceit. Conceit knows it all, is always right, is always better. It's the thing that makes people say or give the impression of saying, I'm the one, I'm great, I'm good, look at me. These same couples were asked another question. What quality do you dislike most in yourself? They replied that it was lack of self-confidence or lack of patience or lack of self-control. None of them had ever thought about it before, that these qualities were probably the very ones which made them look conceited to other people, including their partner in marriage and their own children. People themselves probably cause other people to look upon them as conceited by covering up their feelings of inadequacy, their consciousness of imperfection, their sense of sin. There's nothing that can bring about oneness in a family so great as a good, healthy dose of reality. All are sinners, parents and children alike. Try to cover that up, and you've already started on a binge of conceit. There's probably no conceit so devastating as religious piety, which puts on airs and parades its virtues as if somehow, by piety, people can be saved. When the Bible talks about salvation, it's not talking about something that you do to get out of the mess you're in. It's always talking about God, what He has done and continues to do in order to rescue people from the mess they are in. For this His Son took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a common criminal. In that death of His, God was doing His thing. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting our sins against us. Repentance for sin is the healthiest sign of life. Faith in God that He really forgives sin for the sake of His Son, Jesus, who died for all of us, is the spark of life, putting together the refuse disclosed by repentance and setting the whole business on fire with love that lights the whole house. Faith in God burns out all that selfishness and conceit. It burns up all that strife and vainglory. People with faith in God have the courage and lowliness of mind to esteem others better than themselves. They can be real people with a real heart to gather around them a real family. Instead of regarding themselves as the center of life, they've found the one who really is the center of life. He's the one in the family. With someone like that in the family, looking out for everyone becomes everyone's business. Look not everyone on his own things, but everyone also on the things of others. The idea is not to poke your nose into somebody else's business, to be a busybody in somebody else's things. It's genuine understanding, putting yourself in the place of the other fellow, which is the essence of love. It is someone putting himself in somebody else's place, as the Lord Jesus Christ did in all His humility. It is the mind of Christ. The more you think and feel with other people in your family, the better you will come to understand them. I know people who have lived with each other all their lives and have never understood each other. They never talked with one another often enough to understand one another. When they did talk together, they ran out of subject matter within 45 seconds. Understanding produces encouragement. Too many families try to live on criticism. Once in a while, criticism is important, even in a loving spirit, as the book of Proverbs says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." A person who does not really love you will flatter you with all the dishonesty at his command. People who love you have the courage to tell you what they think with all the love that is in them. It's part of being one in the family. But encouragement is far more important than criticism. Children don't have to be perfect to be encouraged. Parents do not have to be perfect to be encouraged by their children. Praise is comely, not only to God, but also to those for whom his son died in our own families. That's a great way to live. Let this mind be in you, which you have in Christ Jesus. This attitude that you have in Christ Jesus. He was God all the way, but he didn't mind being human. He was really human, that is to say, truly humble. Look where it took him, to a cross. Altogether obedient, as a son can be expected to be, and all unselfish in his love for all he died to save. Now look at him. God has given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's some family, the family of God, where people in all confidence call God their Father. They can do that with gracious humility because of the one in that family around whom the whole family gathers. He's the one and only. And he has a name, the name of Savior, for which he was not too proud to die. To that name, people with all their problems bow, with humble faith that makes them truly human, not too proud to accept his forgiveness, and not afraid to love, even in their own little family circle. My friends, father or mother, son or daughter, that's life. That's where it's at. Jesus Christ is the one. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but to the interests of others. He's the one. Have this mind among yourselves, which you have in him. He's the one. He's life. And he's love. He's the one. In the great name of Jesus, Savior and friend, be at one with one another in your own family. Let your mind be his mind, and let the mind of Jesus be your mind. Amen.